So the Proverbs challenge, it's been good. Maybe it's been a challenge. God's Word guiding us in uncertain times, but we've been blessed this month, and I know that from some of the stories that I've heard and some of the ways that you've done the share it part. And so Proverbs, I'm going to come back at the end of this to share share kind of a testimony and share a little bit of what we heard. But let's recap a little bit of Proverbs a minute. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And most of the Proverbs are linked to Solomon, either directly or indirectly. Now, who's Solomon? Solomon is the third king of Israel. The first was a guy named Saul. The second king was David. And then you have Solomon. His father was King David. His mother was a woman named Bathsheba. Most Proverbs Solomon spoke and wrote down. Some he spoke and Hezekiah wrote down. Others, two of his associates, like the one today, Proverbs 30, someone named Agur, or there's a Lemuel, shared. Of course, all of this is being shared, being recorded under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so Proverbs was written and compiled about 1,000 years before the time of Jesus. And the theme of, again, of Proverbs is wisdom. Wisdom that will help you live more faithfully and fruitfully with better relationships, not of our own might, but only by the Holy Spirit living in us. Proverbs is relevant for all of us. But I believe Solomon was actually writing to his son, Rehoboam. Now, we know that Solomon likely had many sons, but Rehoboam is the only one who we know by name. And Rehoboam will follow Solomon, will become the next king. But the reason that I think this was written to Rehoboam, Solomon's son, is because in the very first chapter, if you think back and you're in Proverbs 1, at three different times, Proverbs is addressed to his son. Verse 8 in chapter 1, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction." Verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." Verse 15, "My son, do not walk in the way with them." And in fact, as you read, if you did this Proverbs challenge with us this month, you noticed on many different days, in many different chapters, you noticed those words over and over again, "My son, my son." Solomon really wants to pass along to his son these principles for wise living. On the surface, it seems well, right? If you know a little bit about Solomon's life, about his kingship, about the kingdom of Israel at this time, Solomon acquires alliances and allegiance. He acquires wealth and wives. Yes, you should probably bristle a little bit by that statement, right? Wives, plural. The truth is, none of that was any good for Solomon or for his family. It was destructive. The problem is, Solomon himself doesn't really live with this wisdom that God has given him. And remember that, right? Solomon asks, the first thing he asks when he becomes king, he says, "Lord, give me wisdom." And God, we looked at that at the beginning of the month, and God gives him all this wisdom. You know, that's so we get Proverbs. But he may have some wisdom, but he's not living by all of it. And so his son, Rehoboam, instead of listening to his father, simply watches his father's lack of integrity, watches that his father doesn't live by what he says, and says, well, it all doesn't work out so well for Solomon or Rehoboam in the end. Rehoboam does not apply this wisdom to his own life. So history tells us that Rehoboam inherits a relatively peaceful and rather prosperous kingdom. But in the course of his reign, it ends up splitting into two nations, 10 tribes in the north called Israel and two tribes in the south called Judah. And this weakens them enough that the Assyrians and the Babylonians and others will come through and destroy them. Now, this is, of course, all according to God's sovereign plan, right? We don't want to forget, if you've been with us the last few weeks, everything Eli shared with us and taught us about God's sovereignty, how all of this is according to his plan, how God's sovereignty relates to us. So all of this is according to God's sovereign plan in redemptive history, God creating and calling a people unto himself, unto who? Unto his Son, Jesus Christ. And so if we go back to where we began, chapter 1, verse 7 really is the key to understanding the whole book of Proverbs. If you want to understand Proverbs, if you want to understand wisdom, it all begins right here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so the question is there, we covered this a little bit a few weeks ago, what does it fear mean? What does it mean to fear the Lord? Is that to like just cower and be afraid? No, it's respect and reverence, worship and wonder at who God is, that he's sovereign and holy and just. We often, I think a really frequent mistake that we make in our life, in our day, is to just conceive of God as a sort of teddy bear of a grandpa, right? The old, you know, flowing white hair, long white beard, and just a great teddy bear who you're going to come and hug and squeeze. And he is that, but he's so much more, right? Hebrews 12 tells us that our God is what? A consuming fire. And so I love to help us get a picture of this, how C.S. Lewis paints this in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. C.S. Lewis really wanted to pass on this understanding of the fear of the Lord to his grandchildren. And so he writes this phenomenal series, The Chronicles of Narnia. And in this story, he tells the story of a character, a little girl named Susan. And Susan, at one point, is going to meet Aslan the lion. Now, Aslan the lion is the Christ figure. Aslan is in the Chronicles. And on the way, she's walking with this other character, Mr. Beaver, and they're having this conversation. They're in the land of Narnia. And along the way, Susan asks this question. Is he safe? Right? That's what you'd ask. You think, oh, I've got to go meet a lion? Is he safe? And the answer from Mr. Beaver is, oh, no. He's not safe, but he is good. But he is good. That's our God. He's not safe, but he's good and righteous and true. That's the starting point for all wisdom. If you want to be wise in how you do business, if you want to be wise in how you raise your family, if you want to be wise in your relationships, all of it starts with the fear of the Lord. Now, the biggest enemy of wise living, we talked 4 weeks ago a lot about wise living. The biggest enemy of wise living, Proverbs says, for those of us who've been marching our way through, is what? Foolish living. A fool in the scriptures is a person who lacks humility. And so we initially talked about seeking and speaking God's wisdom, which begins by living in right relationship with God, and that translates and applies into being in right relationship with each other. And so today I want to quickly contrast living in the Spirit with a big picture look at the fool, right? What is it that we don't want to be like? How do we not want to live? And specifically, I want to look today briefly at the thoughts of a fool, the words of a fool, and the actions of a fool. And then, as we did at the beginning of the month, I want us to run back to Jesus. So first, the thoughts of a fool. They despise wisdom. Right? Proverbs 1:7, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, why would anyone despise wisdom? Right? It's because, again, that true wisdom begins with right relationship with God, which means I have to think about God's will and God's ways above my own. That's not very appealing for a self-centered meist. Right? You know, the word deist is somebody who believes there's a God. I think more appropriate for many of us in our really individualized, hyper-individualized culture is that we're a bunch of meists, right? The person who says, I want to live my own life. I want to do whatever I want without any accountability, without any judgment. Or, and what do? When we're in that frame of mind, when we're in that frame of thinking, what do? We advice shop, right? Until we hear what we want to hear. So we may have a source. Yeah, that's not what I want to hear. And so we turn somewhere else. The thoughts of a fool. Second thing about the thoughts of a fool, they're overly opinionated. Proverbs 18, a fool would kind of be a tool too. Proverbs 18, verse 2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only expressing his own opinion. Fools aren't really interested in growing and learning. They just want you to listen to everything and anything they have to say. They're way more woke than you, that's for sure, to put it in our cultural context. It's only a matter of time now before the thoughts of a fool, despising wisdom, overly opinionated, before the thoughts of a fool spill out into the words of a fool. Let's look at the words of a fool. Two things, if you're following along in the outline. First, they talk too much, right? Before you even get, this is going to be Proverbs 10:19, but before we even get to verse 19 of chapter 10, go to verse 8 of chapter 10. It says that a fool is like a babbling brook. Well, what's a babbling brook? The mouth of a fool never stops. It's constantly running, right? That brook that's always bubbling up over rocks and turbulence. This is a person who tries to dominate every conversation. They're always getting in the middle of everything, which is exactly then what chapter 10, verse 19 says. When words are many, transgression is unavoidable. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. When words are many, sooner or later you will say something you will come to regret. Second thing about the words of a fool, they have no filter. Proverbs 14, verse 3, by the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. A fool speaks without thinking, tends to cause wounds and anger, right? But we ought to stop and consider carefully our words before we say them. Now, I love how Abraham Lincoln had a great way of saying this. Abraham Lincoln, at least I'm pretty sure it was Abraham Lincoln, said, God gave us two eyes, two ears, and one mouth, so that you might see and hear twice as much as you say. Right? But no filter. How many of us know people like that? How many of us are those people, at least sometimes? The Holy Spirit through James in the New Testament says it a little bit differently. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. In our culture, watching what we say is way more than just the words from our mouth, but it includes the words from our hands. Texting, Twitter, TikTok, whatever else you can think of. Those are the only T things I could think of. Whatever else you can think of. We need to be careful because it's too easy for us to say things we'll regret later. And in a lot of those platforms, those things we say are what? They're going to be around forever. It's too easy in our day on all of those platforms, even just in life with the news. We are living in a day when we are pressed to respond and say things that are reactionary to algorithms that are specifically designed to feed on our anger and our anxieties. That's the scary truth of social media, of 24/7 streaming news channels. Everything there about is programmed to hit us where we get angry and where we're anxious, so that it drives a response. We've got to be aware. Streaming news, social media, and it doesn't matter, right? CNN, Fox News, it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on, and all of the others, they're all the same. Poorly reported situations that are far more complex and nuanced than the talking head crowd or the social media rush to judgment crowd can understand. We jump to conclusions. It means we don't have all the facts, and yet we speak. Foolishness is destructive. We see it. The thoughts of a fool, it's all about yourself. The words of a fool who speaks without thinking and talks way too much. Well, what about the actions of a fool? The actions of a fool, they're combative and quarrelsome. Proverbs 18, verse 6 says, a fool's lips walk into a fight and his mouth invites a beating. Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. And so again, we all know those people who walk into a room and instantly everyone's on edge. Don't just jump into the middle of the fight and let everybody know your two cents when nobody really wants to know your two cents. What about the actions of a fool? They're unreliable and reckless. Proverbs 26:6, whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence, right? Unreliable. Proverbs 14, verse 16, one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds back. Self-control. That's what a fool lacks. Self-control. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, right? This is the person who, the fool, that is. The fool is a person who loses it loudly, who just lets their anger explode because that's how they want to try to control the room. They vent publicly, and they tend to do this about everything and anything that displeases them. Lack of control of their emotions, lack of control of their efforts and energy. What are they working towards? Now, step back a minute. The truth is, we all start out as fools. As children, we don't know how to live life, right? And so if you think of your kids when they were toddlers, kids tantrum because they're just learning how to live life. And kids tantrum because, well, they don't understand. They have a need or they want attention, but they don't know how to express that. They don't know how to get your attention. And so they just scream. Right? We understand that. Developmentally, that's where they're at. Thankfully, we never had much of an issue with that with Miriam. Lydia's, I think, going to be a little different. She's already, it just, I'd but folds over like a pretzel, face on the ground, and just cries. Thankfully, she doesn't really scream. Hopefully, she never does. But as we grow, many of us learn, right? Many of us learn. Some of us remain emotional toddlers. Likewise, before we know and grow in Christ, we don't know how to live life in the Spirit. But we grow. And as I mentioned, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I want to end where we began to wrap this up and then share something that I just think is so cool. But it's very important. Proverbs 1, verse 7, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Living, loving, leading well, in right relationship with God and in right relationship with other people begins with our fear. Reverence, respect, worship, wonder, love of the Lord. Without that fear, we do what we want, like a fool. And we maybe even make the same mistakes again and again. So Proverbs 26:11, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. You're hungry for lunch now, aren't you? Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool. Proverbs 10:23 says, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. A fool tends to be pretty casual about sin, about morality. Come on. It's no big deal. A fool thinks they can do as they please without consequence. But everybody is accountable in life. We're accountable to each other. And then ultimately, we are accountable to God. Right? And I framed that out at the beginning of the month and said, we are accountable. We'll come that day. We'll stand before the Lord. And will we stand with Christ or without? With Christ or without? That means all of us need to do some evaluation in our lives personally. Each of us can reflect and say, if we're honest, I've made some mistakes relationally, or I've got some sin in my life that it's time to stop joking about. Maybe we need to stop and look at this list of the thoughts of a fool, the words of a fool, the actions of a fool, and go, you know, a bunch of those are me. And then run to Jesus, who leads us back to the Scripture, who leads us back to the Spirit, who leads us back to life. Run to Jesus at the cross, where we receive forgiveness of our sin. Run from the empty tomb into resurrection life, changed, transformed with a new heart, a right spirit. A right spirit, why? Why does he give us a resurrection life even here and now today so that we would walk, the New Testament says, or what that means is this, that we would live the spirit life even today and run by faith to this Jesus of our baptism, right? Remember those baptisms we celebrated last week. Run to this Jesus of our baptism who gives his spirit of wisdom. And what's his spirit of wisdom? It's a spirit of power and love and self-control. There it is again. Or some translations phrase that of a sober mind. Of a sober mind. Now, if you remember from the beginning of the month, three things to ask God confidently and with complete faith for salvation, for the Spirit, and for wisdom. Just don't fool yourself. Proverbs 26:12, do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. If we listen, we have the opportunity to learn. We're going to take the things we see and hear and ask, is it true? Is it biblical? Is it right and just and fair? If we're humble, we will learn and not be a fool. And we'll reflect Christ, who modeled humility. And he will shine in us the hope of glory. And so I want to share something on that line about Christ shining in us and through us that I'm just really grateful as a way to wrap up our Proverbs challenge. This is from Margaret. Margaret Brooks sent me this week by email, some reflections that she had and she wanted to share. And I just loved it. And so I'll probably just share most of it. Right here. But here are Margaret's reflections of this past month of how she experienced this Proverbs challenge, how the Spirit spoke to her, and how Christ shined in and through her as she was reading, writing, praying, and sharing. So Margaret writes, talk about God's hand in discipleship. He only asks that we plant the seeds, and he will do the reaping. The Proverbs challenge offered the perfect opportunity to sow. And boy, did God do some harvesting. With intention, commitment, and less interrupted time on my hands, I have enjoyed reading, writing, praying, and sharing daily verses, mostly through social media. It has been fun creating images to post. The response has been exciting, as it reflects God's constant presence in our world. Close to 100 different people have reacted when verses have resonated with them. There have been over 600 likes, loves, and even humor during this challenge. Here are some God sightings or noticings that I've spotted. When Joshua spoke on August 2nd and introduced the Proverbs challenge, he stated that as we studied our daily chapters, keep in mind, what's a fresh word, right? What is God saying to me today? It was fun to see how God would work through me each day. It also indeed became a habit. She has an image of the back of a woman's head, braided and long hair with Proverbs 16:31. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness. She said the following image received the most responses, probably because it was my birthday. Interestingly, she said she shared the image here. The second image, the image that came in second place with responses was this one, a very somber and sober looking picture, day 18, Proverbs 18, verse 14, that says, a man's spirit will endure sickness, but a broken spirit, who can bear? There are few things more emotionally destructive than humiliating someone in front of others, she said. There's much humor in the Bible. She noted. Human nature is human nature, whether it was 10th century before Christ or present day today. Much humor, she found. On day 26, she says, I was reminded again of how our present day experiences and responses are not that different from earlier times. It's actually exciting to me to make notice of just how connected we have always been. For example, at the time of the writing of Proverbs, apparently the people were experiencing years like our 2020 with atypical phenomena. She's referring to Proverbs 26:1, snow in summer? Who knows? Summer of 2020 isn't over yet, she says. Well, I maybe hope that it is. She said, having unintentional, here's where I think it gets really good that I've actually added a little text update that she sent, I think, Saturday morning. She's describing herself here. She says, having unintentional, preconceived judgments, I was surprised by the consistent reactions from some people whom I assumed would never have taken an interest in this journey. Again, God is at work. He knows his people. Right? I think what's powerful there, just a minute, is if we allow ourselves just to be that vessel, if we just take that action of sharing, right, how powerful it is. Again, we never know who the Spirit puts on our mind. That's exactly how God is sovereignly working, aligning some details. Sometimes it just needs us to have the courage to speak and share that word. Her text update, she says, she received the following message from someone on Facebook that just said, thank you, for doing this. And the person said, since we've covered Proverbs now, any idea? Like, what comes next? We're coming into a new season. And keeping people engaged is just not easy, right? And so here's what I would say to that. Number one, I hope if you've been doing the Proverbs Challenge this month, I hope by now it's become kind of a habit. Study safe. You've done something for 30 days. It should kind of be at that point where it's pretty solidly a habit. So continue. And I'm going to invite you to continue however you want. So let me reflect for a minute, step away from Margaret's reflection, and been having some, seen some comments and messages from a friend who has just admitted, as I acknowledged before, that lately Proverbs has been tough. Been kind of tough toward the end. And maybe, you know, a little bit what she was feeling that I warned against is so easy for us to do is read Proverbs and what we just think of everybody else. Oh, this person needs that proverb, right? And she was just lamenting. It's been hard. How do I keep that? How do I keep that starting with me first? And so back to Bernadette's comment. Maybe, you know, just do a little pivot to the Psalms. You do a little pivot to some praise. That could be an easy way. I'm not going to put a congregation-wide way forward right now, but maybe for the month of September, maybe flip to the Psalms. Do a psalm a day and share, same thing, share a verse a day, pray a verse a day. Grab a New Testament book. Grab a gospel. Grab a gospel. Read a chapter a day. Write it, pray it. Share it. You do what you want. It is encouraging. Maybe come October, maybe we will do another sort of church-wide thing. But for right now, keep the habit going with wherever in Scripture you want to be. Margaret says, there are many more God sightings as this challenge went for 31 days. These were just a few that stood out. She mentioned the prayer. Thank you, God, for your words and wisdom. Like all challenges, when the goals are met, the outcomes raise us up to be better people, when individually and collectively. And so in closing, she shared an image, which if you're connected with her on social media, I'm sure you can see today, from today's Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto those who put their trust in him. So thanks, Margaret. And I hope that you've had similar experiences and you've had some similar engagement or, you know, even just one moment through the month where somebody really responded to what you shared or just how you were able to speak into their lives and continue. I said before, the Proverbs challenge, it's been good in a lot of ways. Maybe it's been a challenge in some ways, but we have been blessed in our hope. Our hope is in the Lord. Pray with me, please. Father, again, we thank you for your word and wisdom. Thank you for inspiring us and guiding us through the Proverbs Challenge this month. Father, I pray that you would help us to see that your great desire is for us to live lives that are right with you and right with each other. That we learn to find the joy of our salvation in every moment of life. Lord, we also acknowledge that maybe there's someone here this morning with us in person or joining us online who doesn't know that. Or maybe we're wise in our own eyes. Maybe we just want to do our own thing. Father, forgive us where we fall short and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Daily renew us, Lord, as we repent, each in our needed ways, that we will find peace in you. For the proverb said, "Blessed is the one who finds your wisdom, O Lord." Jesus, we can't do any of this without you. O Lord, our hope is in you. You are our rock and our Redeemer. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.